Welcome to Souls Harbor's weekly podcast. We believe that God has called us to lead people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, help them grow to be like Jesus, and involve them in reaching lost people. Listen now to this week's message.
If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. This is week 2 of our series in 1 John. So, when I grow up, I want to be nobody. I want to live my life in such a way that I have zero significance. Someday when I get ready to step into eternity and I know my life is over, I want to be able to look back and say to myself, you've impacted nobody whatsoever with your life. Now, who in the world says that? Nobody ever, right? Right? See, I think there's a truth in here. I think the reality is, folks, that every single one of us, probably multiple times in our life, we deal with the issue of, does my life matter? Significance. Whether you're the young person, the young adult that's just stepping out into a career and a job, and at some point you get up in the mornings and you realize, I'm going to go today to work and work the whole day, and in reality I'll probably make no impact on anybody that's going to last whatsoever. Sometimes when we're young, and I struggle with this. I fought this battle as a young man stepping into the workforce. I'd get up and I'd go and I'd say, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And Andrew, that was perfect timing, dude. You know where he's headed? He's got to go to work. We could have really worked that well. That was beautiful timed. Andrew works at the airport, and he's got to be there in a short time. But I struggle with that as a young man, and there's a point in our life, I think, where every one of us at some point has thought, God, there's got to be more than this just to get up and go and earn rent money. Is my life got more significance than that? And maybe some of you, the thing that you struggle with or the place that you've hit that question in your life isn't so much as a young man or young woman, but it's when you move into parenthood and, you know, we become spouses, we become parents, and we begin to realize, I work my job for my wife, my husband, or my kids, and or my kids. But somewhere along the way, if you've been a parent for more than a few years, you're going to hit a moment in time where you're going to realize and you're going to think, man, I've killed myself to be able to provide for my kids what I never had. And they have no understanding of what they've got. How many ever been there? They have no appreciation whatsoever. They don't know how good they got it. And a piece of that is all the time and all the effort and all the blood and all the sweat and all the tears that I poured in, is it really making any difference whatsoever? I crossed the 50 threshold about a year and three quarters ago. I'm coming up on 52. Somewhere in there, you step onto a piece of the path of life where people that are your contemporaries die. I mean, we all have tragedies and accidents younger, but since I've been here as your pastor, just in the last 3.5 years, I've had 3 people that graduated high school with me that have died young. Pam, and I won't mention any last names because we put this on podcasts and put it out publicly, but Pam, cancer took her at about 47, 48 years old. Young lady I went to high school with for 4 years and graduated with. Married a very good friend of mine. He became a widower, and she passed on into eternity at 47. And then there was Fred. Fred was somebody I wasn't really close with, but we wrestled together for 3 years through high school. Fred wrestled our 132-pound weight class, and the thing I remember about Fred is he loved the 80s version of Screamo, I think is what it would be described as far as music. It was his favorite group, I kid you not, his favorite group was a group called the Sex Pistols. And I'll date myself so badly here. He'd come into the wrestling room, the locker room, with his boombox. You all remember boomboxes? They're about this wide and about this tall, you know, and if you were cool, you had it on your shoulder, and he'd have that thing turned up as loud as it could go, and he had just this screaming noise. And I wasn't really serving Jesus in those years either. And be like, Fred, turn that garbage off. Turn that junk off so we can get some good music on, like Def Leppard or AC/DC or, you know, something completely inappropriate like that. And about 2 years ago, Fred, probably 49, I would guess, stepped into eternity. This spring, another young man this spring, Mike, I played football with Mike. I was defensive tackle. Mike was our defensive end. Mike was about 6'4", probably 200, 220 pounds, and just lived his life with an attitude. He loved nothing better to roam the backfield and just cause people pain and suffering. That was his purpose in life. And he was really good at it. He probably had real college potential in him had he pursued that. And I found out this spring that last November, Mike died. And, you know, when those, and some of you are so much further down this path than I am, I know, and you're thinking, Pastor, that's only three. You don't understand my life. And I realize that. And I know that this is something that for the rest of my life I'm going to deal with. But you know what? When you hit that place in life where you cross that path in life, you cross that threshold, you begin to stop and ask yourself, man, if they could die of cancer, they could die of disease, they could die of just health issues, why can't I? But for the grace of God, that could have been me. And we begin to ask ourselves, I begin to ask myself, if I died tomorrow, have I done anything that really matters? Y'all ever ask yourself that question? Significance is a big deal. Probably those of us that are following Christ on some level, to some degree or other, every one of us feels like a part of our significance in this world is attracting people from the darkness into the light. Jesus put it this way just a couple places in Luke. He said in one place in Luke, as a young boy of 12, his parents chastised him, said, hey, why did you hide from us as they were traveling? We couldn't find you. They had to go all the way back to Jerusalem to the temple, and they found Jesus in the temple, and his words to them was, why are you surprised? Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? See, Jesus had a significance. He had purpose. His purpose was to pull people from darkness into light. The same kind of thing comes out of Jesus' mouth a number of chapters later, also in Luke, where he comes up to Zacchaeus, who was up in a tree, and says, Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus was a sinner, a heathen, a tax collector. He says, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. And Zacchaeus makes his way down slowly down out of that tree. And Jesus says, I'm going to eat lunch at your house today. And Jesus, when he gets to Zacchaeus' house, says to Zacchaeus, today salvation's came to your house, son, because I've came to seek and save that which is lost. See, Jesus had significance figured out, and I think probably every single one of us here this morning that are believers in Jesus, followers of Christ, on some level, we feel like pulling people from the darkness to the light is a big piece of our significance, right? And yet we struggle. How many of you this morning, you look around at your life from whatever place you are and ask, man, am I really, have I pulled anybody from darkness into light? And sometimes it seems like, I struggle with this. I suspect you struggle with this. It seems like sometimes we're our own worst enemies, aren't we? We shoot ourselves in the foot. We want to make a difference in somebody's life. We want to influence somebody. We want to be able to pull them from darkness into light. And we turn around and we're our own worst enemies because all of a sudden it's our temper gets us in trouble. Or our attitude gets us in trouble, or our mouth gets us in trouble, or our habits gets us in trouble, or some of those things, something that you know, we're wanting to pull them from darkness into life, and something ugly pops up in our lives. Anybody ever have any ugly in your life? Ugly pops up in our life, and when we were maybe on the verge of being able to make that contact and influence them, all of a sudden, we ourselves become our own worst enemy. Does that sound familiar to anybody? You know, we're going to look at 1 John this morning, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. John, in that passage, he describes for us the answer to living a life of significance and the answer to how to keep from being blindsided. How to keep from being blindsided by our dark side. Now, I'm going to need you to work with me a little bit this morning as I preach this and share this passage, share these five verses, 5 through 10, with you. Because, John, you got to realize, John was writing this to a congregation that, for the most part, was probably illiterate in large part. And this letter would be held by the pastor, by the preacher, by the bishop, by the elder, by whoever in the church, and he would read it. So as John painted the picture and he described for them what was going on, he wrote it in a way that it would literally paint a picture for them, and they could glean some, they could grab a hold of some truths out of that. John, he talks about in verse 5, he says, God is light. God is light. And there is no darkness in God. And he goes on, he says, at all. God is light, and there is no darkness in God at all. Can I tell you this morning, John is letting the church know this reality, this truth, that God is the definer of light, and God is the definer of right, and nobody else in this world has the authority or the ability or the capacity to define what light is and what right is. But we, as Christians living in a culture that is enveloped in darkness, we will always struggle with this, because while it's true as Christians and biblically that God is light and God defines right and God in him there is no darkness at all, there will always be those about us that want to declare themselves the light. Culture right now, we are fighting this battle culturally. This is a reality culturally. Culture is standing up, and they're proclaiming to the world over here in the darkness, they're proclaiming to the world, hey, Christianity has no concept of what right is and what light is. We have the true light, and we have the true right. I mean, it's everywhere we look. It's everything. It's from definitions of marriage to what's acceptable sexual behavior within a culture, to how do we treat the unborn, what's the value of life, to, you fill in the blanks, and culture is standing up and proclaiming to the world that we are light, and we are right, and we have it, and you all need to come follow us. But John says, no, God is light, and God is right, and there is nobody else that is. Now, here's what culture can be, and culture often is. Culture is a reflection, and sometimes culture gets it right. Sometimes culture reflects the light of God, but when culture gets it right, and sometimes they do, because culture's out there saying, you know what, you need to respect all men and all women, regardless of their background, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of where they come from, regardless of whether they're rich or poor, you need to respect all men. That's an example of culture getting it right, and they're reflecting the light of Jesus Christ, because ultimately God is light and God is right. And when culture gets it right, it's simply because they manage to reflect the light of God unknowingly. So there are places, folks, as we as Christians, we can be in agreement with culture because they do sometimes reflect right values. But we have to be careful to make sure that what's being reflected is God and not their own desires. You say, Pastor Barry, I don't know if I buy that. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, if I may. This isn't a new thing. Culture trying to reflect what is right versus God is not a new thing. If you go all the way back to the first century and you do a little bit of digging and research and you look at some of the attacks that were launched against Christians in the first century, here's the kind of things that were said. And to us, this is going to just seem weird and bizarre, but this is true. In the first century, most people were polygamists, They follow multiple gods, not polygamists. They follow multiple gods. Emperor worship was a big deal. Caesar was considered God in large parts of the first century. And some of the criticism that were leveled against Christians were, you know, those immoral Christians, they don't want to serve our local gods. They don't think they have any reason, and they refuse to serve Caesar, who we all know is God. And can you believe how immoral those Christians are? And there was a whole Roman and Greek empire standing up and declaring to the world, we're light and we're right, and those Christians have it wrong. And folks, I'm going to tell you, the early Christians were influential, but one of the reasons they were influential was because they stayed with God, who is the light. And listen, sometimes it cost them their life. Sometimes it cost them their business. Sometimes it cost them their popularity. But they chose to stay with the light. There are those that will argue that culture and community has the right to determine what's right and wrong. God has nothing to do with it. There is no God. Okay, that sounds good. Let's get together in our community and we can decide what's right. And it just makes sense we'll get it right because we're going to do what's best for everybody. Unless you happen to live in Stalin's Soviet Union. Or Nazi Germany. Or slavery South. And then all of a sudden, community didn't quite get it so right, did they? You want to be influential, church? You want to be influential in this world? Then we've got to attach ourselves to God who is light and God is right. Let me show you something else. There's another source. Other place that sometimes comes along and declares themselves light, and they're not. And bear with me here. Some of you are going to be, Pastor Barry, I'm not sure I agree with that. Just bear with me. It's the church. Now, I know when Jesus talks about the church being salt and light, but you dig a little deeper into that, you know what the church really is when it's doing things right? We also are a reflection of God who is light, and in him there is no darkness. And to the extent the church reflects God, we get it right. But folks, I'm going to tell you this morning, we got to be really, we need to practice a good dose of humility because the church hasn't got it right all the time. If I can give you extreme examples, if we go back to Nazi Germany where society and community determined right, there were a lot of pastors and Christians standing up with them saying, yeah, yeah. If I go to the slavery South, there were churches and there were pastors and there were Christians that stood up and declared God's word says, and they got it wrong. Y'all with me this morning? So if we want to be influential, we've got to realize God is light and God is right, and we need to practice as a church. We need to practice a good dose of humility when it comes to declaring to everybody under the sun that, hey, we are the definition. We're not the definition of light. We're reflective of God's light. And sometimes we get ourselves into trouble because this is what happens. Sometimes we get ourselves into trouble because we mistake tradition for God's light. I'm going to tell you, we have fought the wars in the church, and the world looks at us and think, y'all are crazy. Some of you may remember this. I certainly do. There was a time I couldn't preach dressed as I'm dressed this morning. If I didn't have a coat and a tie on, then it was considered wrong, disrespectful, sinful, inappropriate, and we mistake sometimes our traditions for light and right when they're just our traditions. Now, there's nothing wrong with tradition. I'm not necessarily down on tradition. Tradition makes continuity between the past and the present and the future, but let's not make tradition commandment. There was a time where if you stepped into the church with long hair, sir, you were a heathen. We have to be careful that we don't take our tradition and mistake our tradition for light and right because it's just that. It's just tradition. Y'all with me this morning? And sometimes we take our convictions, and some of you got some strong convictions. I've got things in my life that are convictions, and I will live my life by them because I believe someday God will hold me accountable to my convictions, but we've got to be careful that we don't mistake convictions for commandments because commandments are God's light and God's right. Convictions are something that apply to me because of my history and my life. We have to be careful. You want to be influential in this world? Then the first place John starts as he paints this picture is he says, look, you've got to understand that God is light and God is right, and in God there is no darkness. And then he goes on in verse 6 and he says this, and those that walk in darkness, those that are out here walking in darkness and they're proclaiming and they're declaring to the world that they're having fellowship with God, he's blunt about this. He's brutal about this. He just said they're liars. They got it wrong. They're mistaken. But I want to talk about that for a minute because sometimes that kind of passage causes us as Christians to want to sit back and do nothing, and we end up living lives of insignificance. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Barry? I want you to focus in on this. What did he say? Those who walk in darkness. He goes on in chapter 3, and I'm going to have you turn over there for just a moment. He goes on in chapter 3 and he gives us just a little bit more explanation of what he's talking about. If you've got your Bible there, turn with me to chapter 3, verse 4. Because he explains to us this whole thing of walking and it makes a difference. He says this, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sin. In him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or knows him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. Here's one way I would explain this to you. John says, look, those that are walking in darkness, but you know what? The further I get away from that light, the further into darkness I get, right? Can you tell me, can you all tell me at what point as I walk away from the light, walking God's way and living in God's light and God's right, can you tell me here at what point I've stepped into darkness? Can you tell me? Is there a place here where I've stepped into darkness? It's one of those things, you know what? I can't really tell you where the line is. But I know at some point I can honestly say I'm in darkness, but I'm not quite sure where it is. And sometimes we Christians, we think in order for us to do something for Jesus, to do something for the kingdom, to make a difference in somebody's life, to live a life of significance for God, we think that we've got to get to that place in life where we're perfect. And every time we turn around, we make a mistake. Every time we turn around, we lose our temper, or we let a word fly, or we do this thing, or we do that thing, or we have a thought, and the devil comes along and he says to us, you know what, you aren't even walking in light. You're not even walking in light. You're a liar. You're a hypocrite. You don't even know for sure that you're going to heaven. You just need to quit worrying about trying to do something with your life for the kingdom of God. Anybody ever struggle with that? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm guessing a few of you have, because I've fought that battle. And he wants to come along and he wants to tell us because we make a mistake, because we commit a sin, then we're really walking out here in darkness and we have no business. We're liars. But what I want you to see this morning is he lays it out in 1 John chapter 3. He says, look, if you're practicing sin, you know what I practice? What I practice, I get better at. Except for the piano. I never really got better at that. I practice that a lot and it just, yeah. But apart from that, anything I practice, I get better at, right? And if you're practicing sin, you know what? You're going to become a really good sinner. Some of y'all got a lifetime of practicing, and you got it down pretty well, right? But he goes on and he says, if you're practicing righteousness, then you're going to be righteous. And that is what John is trying to tell us. He says, those that walk in darkness, he's not saying because you step into darkness. He's not saying because you make a mistake. He's not saying because you had a bad day or a bad moment or committed a sin. He's not saying that you're unworthy, that you have no place in the light with Jesus and you can't make a difference in your life. He's saying if you're practicing and you're living out here. Let me give you an example. I used this a few weeks ago, okay? Two people in the Old Testament that are a beautiful example of what I'm talking about. The first one is King Saul. I preached about Saul a few weeks ago. Saul, his attitude was this. He continually sinned. He practiced. He did wrong. He broke God's commandments. He disobeyed the prophet time and time again. And every time the prophet would come to Saul, Saul would say something like this. I did it because they made me. Or I did it because they convinced me. Or I did it because this happened. Saul, he spent his whole life constantly making reasons and making excuses for why he did what he did. And finally, when the day came that Saul ultimately failed, Saul had offered a sacrifice on the altar that the prophet was supposed to offer. When he was confronted, this is what Saul said. He said, look, yes, what I did was wrong, and I know I'm going to lose the kingdom, and I know I'm no longer going to be king here very shortly, but for today, can you take me out in front of the people and honor me in front of the people? Do you know what that is? That's a messed up heart. That's somebody that's not stepped into darkness. That's somebody that's walking in darkness and living in darkness and pretty happy in darkness and okay in darkness and practicing darkness. That's not somebody that stepped into darkness. On the other hand, we got King David who followed King Saul, and King David messed up pretty badly. He did some pretty messed up things. King David committed adultery with Bathsheba. He saw another man's wife bathing, and he wanted her so bad, and he was king. And I'm going to tell you, when you're king, you pretty much get what you want in Israel. And he said, you know what? I want Bathsheba. Bring her to my house. Bring her to my palace. Bring her to my bedroom. And he ended up sleeping with her, and she ended up pregnant, and he committed adultery with another man's wife. That's a pretty big deal. And if that wasn't bad enough, when he realized she was pregnant, he said, you know what? I think I can get away with this. I think, like he thought God wasn't going to notice, I think I can get away with this. So he called his general and said, her husband, who was a military man, he said, look, when the battle gets hot and the battle gets busy, I want you to pull everybody back, and I want you to leave her husband up in the front because I want him dead. He committed murder against her husband to cover up what he had done. That's a pretty big deal. But yet when David was finally confronted with his sin, David's cry was this: God, take not your Holy Spirit from me. God, I'm a sinner. God, I was born in iniquity. I was shapen in sin. God, forgive me for what I've done. It's my fault. I'm responsible for this thing. I should not have done this thing. God, I'm broken before you. Forgive me for this. And it's a difference between a heart over there that's walking in darkness and really happy to a heart over here that's walking, wanting to walk, desiring to walk, and walking in light, but just made a really stupid, messed up, I don't even want to call it a mistake. It's just what it is. It's sin. But yet the heart wants God. Y'all with me this morning? And we got to figure out, we got to decide if we want to live lives of significance, where are we living? Are we walking in darkness? Because I'm going to tell you, there's plenty of people in this world today that they will tell you, I am a Christian, I love Jesus, I'm doing this thing, I'm going to heaven, I'll never go to hell, I'm awesome. But they're very happy to live out there on the edges in darkness. John comes along, he says, look, those that walk in darkness and call themselves walking in light, he says, they're not. He says, they're not. There's one other passage in chapter 3 I want you to see this morning. If you got your Bible there, I want you to see this. It ties into this. Chapter 3, verse 20. Let me just read this. Whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And he knows everything. King David, when your heart condemned you and the prophet Nathan finally came to you and pointed out that God knew, when your heart condemned you, by all rights, you should have been stoned to death and you should spend eternity separated from God. But God is greater. He says, whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater. Greater than our heart. And he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And this is what I would say to you this morning. The proverb says it, guard your heart. Some people want to take this kind of message and they wanted to make a license to do whatever they want to do. Pastor Barry, that's awesome, and I got that recorded. I'm going to put that on my phone. I'm going to hang on to that because that's going to get me. Someday when I'm standing before Jesus in heaven, I'm going to pull that out and say, here, Jesus, this is what Pastor Barry said, so I must be good. Because he said that as long as I repented, I was fine. And I'm going to tell you, if that's what you walk out of here with this morning, you completely missed it. Every one of us are going to have times in our lives where our heart goes to places it shouldn't go, and we do things we shouldn't do, but guard your heart. And when it goes there, if you're broken like David was, God is greater. When you wake up in the morning and your heart condemns you because of that vile thing you said to your wife the night before, when you wake up or you go to bed at night and your heart condemns you because of something you've looked at or something you've thought throughout the day, when you get ready to have lunch and you think about the morning and you realize what you did and your heart condemns you, then let your heart be broken and go to God and say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm broken before this. I will not do this thing again in my life. And let your heart be broken, because if your heart will be broken, then God is greater than your heart that condemns you. But if you let your heart become calloused and you become comfortable living out there in the darkness and you become comfortable living out there and practicing sin and you feel like for whatever reason you can live out here in the darkness and you can live out here and practicing sin and you're going to make it into heaven, I want you to know this morning, the devil's convinced you of a lie. That is not what God's word teaches. Guard your heart, my friends. Guard your heart. Now I want to finish this morning, this last piece of this, with verses 7 through 10. I always, as I read God's word, I always look for things that just seem out of place, something that doesn't seem to make sense, doesn't seem to fit, because I figure maybe there's something there that I really, really need to dig into. And I run into that as I read verse 7. Read this with me, follow along with me. But if we walk in the light... Okay, that makes sense. So if I walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, I'm going to tell you, I read that and I think that isn't what I expected him to say. What I expected him to say was, if we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with God. Right? I mean, that would be the natural direction for that to go. If I walk in the light, I'm standing close to the light, which is God, who's light and right. If I'm walking in the light, I'm standing close to the light, then I should have fellowship. I should have closeness relationship with God. But it's not what he says. He says, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, wait a second. That doesn't make sense to me either, because isn't it the blood of Jesus that lets me get into the light to begin with? Isn't it the blood of Jesus that cleanses me and washes away my sins and allows me to come into the presence of God? Isn't the blood of Jesus that lets me get in the light? But that's not what he says. He says, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, cleanses his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's John saying there? If I'm in the light, it makes sense. Y'all work with me here for a second, okay? If I'm in the light, isn't it true that I'm going to have a dark spot behind me? Right? And it doesn't matter where in the light I get, there's always going to be a dark side. There's always going to be a side that faces away from the light, right? And could it be that the way John worded that was for a reason? Could it be that he, look what he says again, okay? He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us at all. Could it be that it's our dark side that we're deceived? Which, just as a side note, y'all realize when we get to heaven, there's going to be no sun, S-U-N. Revelation says, when you get to heaven, there will be no sun, S-U-N. Because Jesus will be the light of the world. You all realize when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to be the light of everything. And when you stand in heaven, Jesus is everywhere. Light is everywhere. You realize when you get to heaven, there isn't going to be a dark side? Y'all with me? But for now, we still have darkness surrounding us. And it doesn't matter which way we face, there's always going to be this dark side behind us. When I get my hair cut, there's a few things in this world I hate. One of them is getting my hair cut, and the other is getting gasoline. The only reason I can figure out is because it doesn't matter how many times I do it, I got to go do it again. I like things I can check off and be done. But anyway, when I go get my hair cut, inevitably I go, and the lady that cuts my hair, and it doesn't matter which lady, they all do this, they ask me, would you like the corners of the back of your hair squared or rounded? And I tell them the same thing every time. I don't know. I don't care. I don't ever look back there. How many of you guys are that way? Is there any guy in this room that gets up in the morning and works on fixing the back of their hair? Now, my wife, and I'll mention a lot of you ladies are the same way. She gets up and she fixes the front and she sprays it and she brushes it and she makes it look pretty. And then she turns around with another mirror and she does the same thing on the back. And I'm like, I am not putting time in the back of my hair. I never see it. And sometimes that's the way we live our lives when we live in the light. We live in the light, but there's always this dark side. And the reality is, folks, what's behind me in the dark, I'm not going to see. And that's the reason John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves because it's in our dark side, and we oftentimes don't even realize it's there. But let me show you why he did what he did. Come here, dear. Help me out for just a second. He put that the way he did. He said, look, if you're walking in the light, you'll have fellowship with one another. Come stand right over here beside me. And if we're standing in the light together, then all of a sudden, Jer has got the capability of watching my dark side. And I can watch his dark side. And he can let me know there's a shadow behind me. He can say to me, hey, Pastor Barry, love you, and just need to let you know that your dark side's showing. You got some stuff growing back there you need to take care of. You probably don't see it because you never look at the back of your head. You probably don't see it, but it's there and it's getting really ugly. And I can do the same thing. And see, when we walk in the light together and we have fellowship together, fellowship. Remember fellowship last week, koinonia? Fellowship means more than just we just hang out together once in a while. It means we live life together. We participate in life together. We contribute to one another's life. When we live life together, when we have koinonia, when we have fellowship with one another, we're able to watch each other's dark side. And when Jared's watching my dark side and he says, hey, you got some stuff I see on your dark side. No, you don't see it. I just want you to know it's there. Then here's what can happen. Now I know it's there, and I can confess my sins. 1 John chapter 9, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. And when I confess, now the blood of Jesus can wash my sins. But it's never going to happen if I think I can live in the light alone, because nobody's ever going to see my dark side. Lone Ranger Christian does not work. We need fellowship together. One of the reasons we're starting the life groups and we're starting the breakout groups is because you all need each other. I need Jer. Jer needs me. Right? Otherwise, we find ourselves stepping into things that we don't ever see. Anybody here ever step into something? Doesn't take very long. It starts to stink, doesn't it? Everybody else knows, and you're looking around trying to figure out where it is. You didn't even see it coming. You're blindsided by it. But if we'll watch each other's dark side, then we can confess and we can grow. And I don't know about you all, but I want to grow. Thank you, Jer. Can I show you one more thing about the dark side? One more truth I believe God showed me. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, there's probably a part inside of you that says, you know what, I do want to reach lost people. I want to invest my life in those that are out there in the darkness. And the chances are really good that the way you're going to invest yourself in those people out there in the darkness is you're going to use the giftedness that God has given you, your strength. Think about this with me. So if I'm wanting to reach into the dark and my giftedness is empathy. Some of you are so empathetic. I mean, you just feel other people's pain. It's going to be your strength that's pointing toward the dark side, right? Or pointed towards the dark. So if that's the truth this morning, where's your dark side most likely to be? It's going to be your strength. It's going to be that thing God gifted you with. Here's what happens. And here's the first time that it ever dawned on me, this ever struck me. I had a pastor. He came and spoke with a group of other pastors that I was with. He was coming off 2 years of rehabilitation. He wasn't an Assembly of God pastor. Wasn't even from this nation. And he came in, and he was just very transparent and very open and shared his life. And his focus, his giftedness was empathy and shepherding and pastoral care. And he loved people, and he broke with people, and he was compassionate to people, and he shared their pain, and he grew a church that way. But one day, he had an opportunity, a situation where he went to a woman's house, and she was hurting, and she was broken, and she was in desperate need of help, and he made the mistake, the stupid mistake, of stepping into her house by himself. And what had been his strength and his giftedness became his dark side. And he had a moral failure. And many times, we think our dark side is some horrible, horrible thing, but I'm going to tell you, and it is a horrible thing, but many times our dark side comes out of our strength. God put me together with a brain that's just, I think strategically, I think logically. That's my strength, and when I reach out to people, that's the way I tend to do it. When I reach out into the dark, I work that way. But it can very easily become a matter of being just cold, uncompassionate to people. It can come off that way if I don't guard my dark side. Some of you are musicians. Many of you are musicians. What a great opportunity, a great strength, a great giftedness to reach out into the dark to lost people. But that becomes our dark side. And if we don't guard our dark side, that thing that God has gifted us with becomes something that raises up and becomes a matter of pride. Some of you have got an incredible gift of hospitality and helps. You live to help other people. That is your giftedness. That is your way to reach into the dark and reach lost people. But if you're not careful, your giftedness of helps will become the thing that makes you a workaholic and wears you out and wears you down. And you become the person like Mary in a Martha world where you live your life to work and to help other people, but you never take care of you, and your strength becomes your dark side. And many times it's not that our dark side needs to be destroyed and killed and taken out. Many times it's simply this. We need to make sure that our dark side stays redeemed. Because it's our dark side, many times it's our giftedness that the devil will come along and turn into our dark side. That all makes sense? Beware of your strength. My wife said this, so don't yell at me, because my wife said this. Let me say this one more time for the podcast. Ruthie Marie Curtis, my wife, said this. I did not say this. My wife said this, and I was a little shocked she said it. She said, a woman should never be president. Now, this was a long time before Hillary Clinton or any other woman ran for president. This was actually a conversation we had many years ago. I don't know if she still feels this way or not, but I said, what? Because I actually disagree with it. I said, I don't know that I buy that. And this, but this was her logic. And I know when you paint with a broad brush, you don't always get it right, so just bear with me, all right, because I think there's a good truth in here. She said, look, here's the reality. She said, most women, and not all women, but most women, we have a tendency, we live our lives with our emotions are very strong, and they're very instant. They're very right now. That's a broad brush. If you don't fall into that, don't yell at me. Go yell at Ruthie anyway, okay? All right? But she said, when we get in a crisis, and I've actually watched this happen in our marriage, in our life, when we get in a crisis, a real crisis, a real severe crisis, instantaneously our emotions kick in, and we have an emotional response. She said, men, and there's actually biological reasons for this, she says, men have a tendency, when they get into a crisis, their first reaction is more logical, more mental, not very emotional. Now, I'll just tell you the reason for it. Biologically, there is a reason. When we are still in the womb, the left side and the right side of our brains come together, and there's these neurons that connect between them, and it's like when you're first conceived or early conception, there's a super highway of neurons that run between them, and at some point in the gestation period, there's a testosterone wash that takes place across that fetus, and if you're a male, that testosterone wash is heavy. It's heavy, heavy. That's why we grow all the beard and the back hair and all the gross stuff, okay? But what that testosterone sweep does is it kills like two-thirds of those neurons between the left side and the right side of the brain for men, and for women it doesn't. So you ladies, the reason you have an emotional reaction isn't that you're the weaker sex or you're not as smart or anything like that. It's simply you all got a super highway going from left brain to right brain, and you process things like that. We got like four neurons connecting left, right, and right side. And she loves to tell me that I always knew you were half brain dead. And it's not that the emotional thing from left to right doesn't happen with us guys. It's just that we got four neurons, and it takes us about 3 weeks to get from left side to right side. Now here's where this ties into the dark side and the light of our lives. For me, who thinks logically and who doesn't have deep emotion, when I get into a crisis, I really have to work hard to be empathetic. It's not that I don't care. It's that it's going to take me 3 weeks to get it from the left side to the right side. And it's very easy when I get into a situation that is crisis, I will struggle to be able to show sympathy or show empathy or connect with people that are themselves struggling. And it's not that I don't want to. It's not that I don't desire to, or not even that I don't feel it. I just don't know how to process it. And I come off, sometimes I can come off as cold and uncaring. And my strength becomes my weakness. My wife, on the other hand, she steps into it, and she looks at them, and she just melts. And they look at her, and they just melt. And they all come together, and they cry, and they have a connection, and she can serve and minister to them. And I'm over here still thinking, you guys come back in 3 weeks, and I'll be there. But her emotional reaction is her giftedness and her strength, because she can step into the crisis, and right now she can help. But if it's a crisis that hits close to home, or it's a crisis that's really, really extreme, she will struggle to figure out what is the next right step to make it better. And her strength becomes her weakness. You all with me this morning? Guard your dark side. Know your dark side. Walk in the light with some other people that can help you with your dark side. Because if you don't, your dark side will be, or your giftedness will become the thing that destroys you. If you're a musician, man, you got capabilities and capacities to do things that very few people in this world can do. You need to take that giftedness to the Lord on a regular basis. If you're a preacher of the gospel and God gives you the ability to communicate the word of God, then you got something that most people don't want to do. It's a giftedness. It's a calling. You better take it to the Lord on a regular basis. If you got the gift of compassion, or you've got the gift of empathy, or you've got the gift of generosity, or you got the gift of making money, because all those things are gift, the gift of administration, all those things are gift, then you've got some special giftings from God. Take those things to God on a regular basis and say, God, I lay them before you. You gave them to me. I want to be a good steward of them. Help them not become my dark side, because they'll kill you. The thing God blessed you with will kill you. Some of you all, last one, Jer, come help me. Some of you all got imagination. I got none. I get my imagination from everybody else's ideas. That's not really true. I've got some, but not like some of you. And God wants to use that. And I've watched this happen. I think men maybe are more susceptible to this than women, but not necessarily. Because the devil will take your ability to imagine and create in your mind, and he will twist it, and he will warp it, and he will spin it, and he will take you into illicit places that you should never go. Because he is good at taking your giftedness and turning it into the thing that destroys you. Guard your giftedness. Watch your dark side. This morning as we finish this, I want to ask you a couple questions. If you'll bow your heads with me for just a minute. This morning, whose light are you walking in? Have you gotten pulled into the light of the world, the light of culture, thinking it was the light of Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you, if you have, you're going to struggle to be influential there. How's your dark side? Is it redeemed? Have you got a dark side that you kind of know is there, but you really haven't acknowledged? And this morning, the Holy Spirit saying, you know what, you need to deal with that right now. Before you leave this place today, you need to deal with that. We got about 5 minutes here, and we're going to be releasing. We're not going to be long. But this morning, I would be remiss to not give you an opportunity to respond. So I'm going to ask you this morning, why don't you all stand with me? Let's do that. How's your dark side? How's your dark side? Look, I could call you to the front this morning. We could do an altar call, but let's be honest. None of us really like to have our dark side put out there, do we? But yet, like David, God knows anyway. Am I right? So let's do this again. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. And is there anybody here? And I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to out yourself. But I'm going to ask you to be honest between you and God right now. Anybody here would say, Pastor Barry, I'm struggling with the dark side. There's some stuff in my life, maybe attitudinal, maybe behavioral, maybe whatever. But there's some stuff in my life that it's the dark side. And I right now I want to repent of it. Right now I want to repent of it. Several hands. I want to repent of it. Right where you're standing, you can put your hands down. Right where you're standing, whether you lifted it or didn't lift it, will you do something for me and really for you? Right where you're standing, will you pray? You don't have to be loud about this. Will you just pray right now and say, Jesus, my heart is broken. Forgive me. Forgive me for the things I've let slip in. Forgive me for the sin of my life. When my heart condemns me, God is greater. Forgive me. Right now, I confess. 1 John 1:9, I confess to you. If you need to speak something out, do it quietly, but just speak it out right now where you're at. I confess this thing, God. I confess it. And I ask you to wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. And this is my last question for you all. And we're going to pray and let you go. Y'all can look at me for just a second. Do you have somebody standing in the light with you that's watching your dark side? Do you have somebody in your life with you that they can call you out? They can say, hey, you got some stuff growing back there. You deal with that. Just want you to know, privately, they can call you out and say, hey, I see some ugly and it's starting to smell. Because we all got dark sides. Do you have somebody? Because if you don't, you're setting yourself up for a catastrophic failure. Do you have somebody? And can I encourage you this morning, if you don't, if the answer is no, I don't. And look, spouses are awesome. My wife is my first line of defense, and I do my best to be hers, and that's wonderful, and you need that, and that's great, but that's not enough. So I'm not talking about spouses this morning. Do you have, sir, men in this room, do you have somebody? Because if you don't, you need to change that. Find somebody who will stand in the light with you, and you give the freedom. You give the right to call you out. Ladies, you need somebody. And if you don't have that, if you don't have that, if you don't have that, will you please begin to connect within our breakout groups, our life groups? And you say, Pastor Barry, you're just pushing that way too hard. I'm pushing it because God put it on my heart to do and because we desperately need it. I've watched too many friends and too many men fall and fail because they had nobody. I've watched too many women walk away from Jesus because they didn't have adequate people there to call them out on their dark side. I've watched people that read their word. They know their word. They know the word of God. They pray. I've watched people that speak in tongues. I've watched them, but I've watched them be destroyed because nobody was there to say, hey, your attitude's bad. They had nobody in their life that could call them out and say, look, I see something going on here that's a problem. You need to deal with this. I don't want that to happen. I love you all. Have somebody in your life that can watch your dark side. Will y'all do that? Will y'all do that? If you'll do that, put your hand up in the air. Don't make me give another altar call. Jesus, we love you. God, when we just choose to be the church the way the Word of God presents the church, Lord, we walk in victory and we walk in joy and we walk in freedom from the garbage of this world. Lord, I pray, make us that church. God, I ask, help us to walk in the light together that we can call each other out on our dark side. Have those koinonia moments, those fellowship relationships. Father, we ask it this morning in Jesus' name. And those that lifted their hand this morning and repented, God, give them encouragement, give them hope, give them strength in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Have an awesome afternoon.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you're looking for a church home or are interested in what God is doing through Souls Harbor, visit us at www.soulsharborag.com. If you have an encouraging story of what God has done in your life through these podcasts, please share it with us at sharbor@indy.rr.com.